Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I don't know if this is me being a pessimist or not, but who would have thought this stupid-ass fucking podcast would have got to 200.
200.
200 today.
Today is 200.
Mitch, good job, buddy.
Dave, good job, buddy. We've put up with each other for 200 and...
People don't know how hard that truly is.
Let's see, we've probably done 210 episodes.
Probably more than that.
So
no, you're probably right. There's probably been 10.
We've lost about 10 along the way.
We lost two or three at the beginning.
We lost a few in the beginning. We had some that we just couldn't air.
Austin. Austin may have lost one. I think he only lost one. He did good.
I think Austin lost two, but he was able to salvage one of them with like redundant poor audio quality, but it was still there.
Yeah. Marcus was the fuck up that lost a bunch in the beginning.
He lost a lot.
And then we may have reshot two.
Yeah.
That I remember.
Yep.
But who would have thought, dude?
Who would have thought?
How long has it been? Let me ask you, do you remember?
Yes.
What year?
Yeah, so it was...
It was the end of some year.
Yeah, we started posturing for it in December of 21. And
then we started...
January of 22 was when we released the first three episodes, I think.
Yeah, because we had been shooting them in 22, you're right.
Yeah, we were shooting them in... Like the tail end of 21.
Yeah, November-ish.
Trying to get like a bank of 9 or 10 going. And then we dropped them from there. So, yeah, two and a half years.
25.
Yeah, 2.5 years of podcasts out there. No, 3.5 years.
3.5.
Of podcasts out there.
Good
200
God.
200 shows.
I said that, I think it was the last podcast, though. Maybe it was one before that I had kind of lost track.
Yeah.
I had completely lost track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you had told me it's been 3.5 years, I'd be like, you're fucking high, dude.
Yep.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Pretty wild. Affected a lot of lives. I got a message just this morning. I'll read it.
I will give you the, we have affected a lot of lives.
Look at this stuff.
My own, personally. I've, you know, in our members' meetings and stuff, I talk about it all the time.
So 11:30, this is just 3 hours ago.
Today?
Yeah, I'm going to keep the guy's name out of it. He'll know who he is.
Why? Does he threaten to kill me?
Nope.
Take my spot?
You'll see. He says, hey, Mitch, I'm a New Hampshire master, NH, I'm assuming that's New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, yeah.
Master plumber here, and I work for a big service company, and I'm their lead tech at the moment. I've owned my own business, registered with the state for the past 2 years, just to cover my ass in a worst case scenario. Anyway, I'm on episode 8 of your podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
And I can't tell you enough how helpful it's been for me. I can't wait to start my own company, and I can't wait to start my own form of your Family First program to help my community. That's one of the main reasons for wanting to go out on my own, besides being able to enjoy my family more. Thanks again for the inspirations, and your advice is always great. I'll also be referring your podcast to anyone I know looking to make the leap.
Sign up for Tradewinds, bro.
Yeah.
Get some real information.
Well, if he's on episode 8, it may be a minute before he even sees this.
Speaking of, are we still going to reshoot?
Yeah, so...
The originals, or what do you want to do there?
We could take some feedback from the listeners.
That's not good.
Well, we choose to take it if we want.
Most of it's Dave's an idiot. Yeah, don't let him talk.
That guy on the left.
The guy on the left.
No, we're thinking about redoing episodes 1 through 9. In for episodes 201 through 209. And the idea would be just to put that type of content more fresh in the feed of shows, but also to kind of give us an opportunity to go over anything that's changed between now and then. Whether
you mean then and now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Whether it's our perspective or like tactical things that
I think real life stuff
don't exist anymore.
Yeah, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the thoughts on Google LSA and how it worked.
Right.
You know, and the
versus
functionality
how it works now.
Versus almost 4 years later.
Well, and AI.
It's drastically different.
AI wasn't, like, ChatGPT wasn't out back then.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, we have a whole lot of episodes that now just got a lot simpler to answer a lot of the questions in because we have ChatGPT now. We can generate text that will serve 90% of the purpose we ask for it.
Man,
so
I don't want to change topics, but have you seen those studies that are out, factual studies on people that go to college? Like AI and ChatGPT came out, they're using that to write their papers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Professors are using it to grade papers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, literally there's no learning, no nothing going on now.
Yeah.
I mean, like how do you...
They're learning.
They're learning how to prompt ChatGPT.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
The jobs that they're getting a degree for are going to be not available because of ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah. Can
you imagine the fact that 15% of college degrees are worth a shit and now it's going to go down to 5%? Just because of jobs that will no longer be available.
So,
hey, plumbers, HVACs, electricians, dude, you about to make some fucking money.
Jeffrey Hinton is known as the godfather of AI.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Antichrist, got it.
Godfather of the internet is Jeffrey Hinton.
I thought that was that politician. What was that politician that said that he's invented the internet?
Yeah, Al Gore.
Al Gore?
Al Gore, yeah.
I invented the internet. Yeah. Okay, Al. asshat.
Nobel laureate Jeffrey Hinton rang an alarm bell over AI's impact in the workplace. He goes on to say, he was being interviewed on a podcast called The Diary of a CEO.
It's okay. Take your time.
In the workplace role, AI is going to replace everybody, Hinton thinks. Where is the part that I'm looking for?
Dude, unless it's a job where you physically have to use your hands, healthcare, trades, outdoor work, landscaping, lawnmowers, painters, fence builders, construction workers,
yeah.
Iron workers, truckers. Dude, all of us blue collar motherfuckers that have been spit on for like 50 years, we're about to be fucking all their eyeballs out.
Well,
maybe.
So.
Or it's going to just be the end of the world. One of those two things is happening.
He's referring that AI can do one person with AI can do the job of 10 people. So you're going to see staffing ratios drop 10 to 1.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And he said that there is a significant lag on the cutting edge of AI involving physical jobs. And physical jobs will remain unthreatened by technology. It's going to be a long time before AI is good at physical manipulation. So a good bet would to become a plumber.
Plumber, HVAC tech, electrician.
Yeah.
Fence builder, lawnmower.
Yeah, anything you do with your hands. Like, yes, they do have robots coming out, but those robots are really strong in static environments. For instance, they've got like sheetrock finishing robots where you can kind of give it the parameters, set it in the room, and it's going to, very similar to your Roomba, it's going to go over and sand the sheetrock, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to put the mud and finish it, but it's going to sand it. They actually have robots that will do, roofing now. It'll go over and grab a shingle off the stack and it'll come over and line it up perfectly and put the staples or nails in it or whatever,
yeah.
and go. And so, but those are all fairly static style environments. They're never going to have a robot that will identify where the leak is coming from within the wall, cut the wall open, go out to the truck and make the repairs, grab the material, come back in, make the repairs and do all that. So, there are definitely trades jobs that are AI resistant. It's kind of like economy, recession resistant jobs.
Yeah. Like, dude, man, when COVID hit, Janine worked full-time still. So did I.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was a nuisance. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. Yeah, and I'm speaking about the work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like our paychecks didn't change.
No.
We actually made more money.
Yeah. Like, well, whenever you have a big recession in a country, in an economy, you're... Like, there's a lot of, like, if the budget's not there, the budget's not there, and whole departments get axed. Whole businesses go under yeah. because of recessions. And, you know, like, trash companies, they live.
Yeah.
They're recession resistant because people still have to have trash service. However, if one of your tenants moves out of your complex, then maybe you don't need four pickups a week. Maybe you only need three. And so, like, trash companies still see a hit, even in recessions, because... Just yeah. the shrinking economy.
Well, I mean, almost everyone at least takes a little bit of a hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Plumbing, like a person's either capable of fixing the plumbing or they're not. And so during a recession, you take that guy that's like, oh, I would do it myself, but I don't have the time.
Now he's got time, baby.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, most guys just say that and they don't actually know how to do it. But
say 10% do.
Yeah, you take the semi-capable people, and if money gets tight, they're going to try and fix it themselves
They're going to hit the YouTube and then hit the Home Depot, baby.
Yeah, but when your sewer collapses and you've got sewage backed up in your basement.
Yeah, he's out.
It doesn't matter. Like, you still got to have it dug up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the glory of the HVAC industry. You got to have an EPA card to buy that fucking air conditioner.
Yep.
Sorry. I mean, you can get a capacitor or a contactor or some wire or a stat online and try to muddle your way through like the piddly shit.
Yep.
But dude, when that thing's got a leak or you got to have a new one.
Yep.
Sorry.
You're locked in.
Guess what? Where's my money, bitch?
Yeah.
Like it's over.
Yep.
You know, plumbing's the same way. You know, electrical I think is even more, because people for some reason are scared to death.
Yeah.
To touch 120. They won't touch 120.
Yeah.
Like they would, oh my God, I could die.
Yep.
I could die. Yeah, you're going to be fine. They'll call an electrician immediately. Yep. $500 an hour, I don't care.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what it is. They'll pay it.
Yeah, the challenge with electrical, though, is it doesn't age at the same rate. It's probably the slowest aging service in a home.
Yeah, it is.
And so...
But if you want to add anything, you're on your own.
Yeah, if you want to extend anything, you're...
Yeah, you want to add a sink to your basement, a laundry sink somewhere, mm-hmm. and there's a stat close, and you can get to the water. Dude, guys will take it on.
Yeah.
They have to add a sub panel and like finish a basement like kitchen with GFI outlets. Nope.
Yeah.
They're calling somebody. They ain't fucking with that shit.
Yeah.
Scared, man.
I did mine myself, but
I wired my whole barn and my house.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
It is fun. It's one of those things that's like kind of like power washing.
Yeah.
For me.
I was just gonna say it's kind of satisfying.
Yeah.
Because it's slow.
It's slow, monotonous,
it's
but then there's
peaceful.
There's those, like, making the panel up so that it looks all
so
perfect
it looks good.
And OCD, and then running all the wires so they're perfectly stapled.
Yep.
Like, there's something satisfying. It's like when you power wash your deck and you get all the lines perfect.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you and I both are a little OCD and crazy, and people are like, these motherfuckers.
Well, and there's always that guy that's, like, stretching wires from one box to another because he acts like wire costs $100 an inch.
And it looks like a fucking spider web.
Yeah, so he won't give himself any slack.
He'll
drill his holes at a diagonal across the wall because it's a little bit shorter.
I'm saving a foot of wire, man.
Yeah.
It's $3 a foot. Dude, stop. Don't be an asshat about it. Make it look good.
That's what we try to do. So
you're not an electrician. Oh, you mean plumbing.
Yeah, when it comes to plumbing.
It's got to look good.
Yeah.
If it don't look good, fucking
get
out of my house.
That shark bite's got to look good sitting on there. You're like, I ain't even touching that.
I wasn't. Normally, I would not touch that, but someone very prominent spoke at our last event and said, I have no problem with shark bites. He said, when they're installed correctly, they actually hold up better
than
anything else. Yeah. If they're installed correctly.
SharkBite has a better rating than a soft solder joint. A regular solder joint. You can put a SharkBite in underground. You cannot have a soft solder joint underground.
You can put a SharkBite underground?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Direct bury.
I mean, I always knew.
Now, they do fail. Like, the brass on them rots out and they will fail, but they are approved for underground use.
I didn't know that.
It's crazy.
I mean, I knew that you couldn't soft solder a, like, copper water line. I know you can still floss it.
Yeah.
Like, because I've had calls before where people are like, hey, man, we ran out of copper and we had to add on. We don't have oxygen acetylene torch. Could you come and help us out?
You know Rick Upton?
He built my first house.
Yeah. So he has a PEX crimp coupling under his slab, in his slab.
And let me guess who put that in.
Me.
That's great.
He did radiant heat for his toilet. And he got the radiant heat lines too close to the toilet stack. And I told him to keep them way away from it because the radiant heat will actually melt the wax.
Yeah, it'll melt the wax.
And so I'm like, keep it way away. And he had them right next to it and drilled. Like, I went to anchor the tapcons for stool flange.
Dumbass.
And I drilled right, like, you pull the drill bit out and it's got red stuff on it. And you're like, uh-oh. That ain't good.
Sorry, buddy. And we're going to have to cap that line off. I don't know what to say.
We had to chip out all that concrete and... You know, you're dealing in like a 6 or 8 inch area, and it's like you got two pieces of PEX. You're not gonna, you're not gonna abandon the whole run.
No, of course not.
And you're not gonna like break up the floor and redo the whole run.
Yeah.
So he's got two couplings.
Did
under
you?
The slab. Actually, I think I was able to bend it around and get it in one coupling. I just cut the pipe right where the drill bit went.
Did you just use like the regular stainless steel copper coated rings? Or did you get some stainless steel rings?
No, these were copper rings.
Solid copper rings?
Yeah,
okay.
the original.
Non-ferrous, good.
Yeah, copper rings, and this would have been like a brass coupling.
Oh, then it'd be fine.
So I,
dude, it'll last forever.
In that setting, I would have preferred a plastic coupling. So
it's hard to say.
Yeah. If they're static and there's no external force on them, I like the plastic fittings over the brass ones because plastic will never corrode. So,
well, brass isn't supposed to.
It's not supposed to, but ever since we went no low lead.
Look, I'm telling you right now. So I have radiant floor heat in my barn, right?
Uh-huh.
And so everything is non-ferrous. My pumps have stainless steel. What's the part where they roll through? The flute?
Okay, yep.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
the housing. The
so that's stainless steel.
Housing.
Everything is brass. Everything is... my water heater has stainless steel heat exchange. Like, it's everything. I flush it in the fall and the spring, and it looks like a fucking rusted out mess, watery mess every time I do it.
Most of that's from your water heater.
I know for a fact that that shit isn't all non-ferrous. Yeah, like, I know.
Those Vertex water heaters put...
Oh, I know.
It, like,
it's only a matter of time.
If you've ever looked at the air intake on that thing, or no, exhaust, takes its fresh air from the top and it blows its exhaust out the bottom.
Yeah, it's fucked. I've seen it.
If you open the exhaust, you'll see so much rusty crap in there.
Well, so it's got that little
catch
can. Only plumbers will know. It's got a T coming off the back, which is a catch can. You take the bottom off. That thing, I got to empty it every year.
Yeah.
And like, as I'm taking it off, the rust, water, and particles and flaky metal, it's everywhere.
Yep.
Like, it's eating the concrete. Yep. It's horrible. I know that one of these days I'm going to be like, hey, Mitch.
So
I'm going to need two boiler replacements
One thing that's ironic about that water heater.
It does a great job.
When the heat exchanger fails, so it has a pressure switch on the intake pipe, and they're monitoring exhaust pressure way outside the heater.
Yeah.
And so when
in
the
inches of water column, but not where they should be.
Right.
Yes.
And so when the heat exchanger fails, you actually have a clogged exhaust elbow because it's all the particles and water and everything down there, but it'll throw a code for a clogged intake.
Yeah.
Because.
Which is because there's the pressure switch.
The
is
pressure
on the wrong
switch side. Is on the downstream side of where that issue is. And so
I wonder why.
It throws a lot of newer guys off.
I wonder why. They don't have a secondary pressure. So there's actually two on it because it's got first stage, second stage. I wonder why they don't have a third that's on the exhaust side.
And I got to give A.O. Smith props or State or whatever it is because...
I can't remember. It's an A.O. Smith.
They actually... Like, you can't jumper the pressure switches.
That
They want to see it...
That's not true? Yes, you can.
Well...
You just got to be creative as fuck.
They want to see it in its normally closed... Or normal position.
Yes.
And then, like, so they don't monitor, like, they're not just waiting for the signal that it's closed. They're waiting for the signal that it's open and then closed. Yeah.
And that's inside
of
the circuit
board. Yeah, you can't just jumper them and close them because then...
For someone who has put a time delay on a pressure switch on a gas furnace, I'm just saying...
You can do it.
It is possible.
Yeah.
I may or may not have done that in my past. It wasn't on one of those water heaters, though.
Yeah.
It was on some of those old, shitty-ass, first-generation 90% gas furnaces.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Pulse.
Oh, Linux Pulse. Ugh. God, those are junk. God, they're junk.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Luckily, it stands to reason.
200th show, and we're talking about the good old days.
The good, yeah. Everyone that's listening that's diehard in their trade is like, yes. Everyone else is like, these guys are fucking retarded.
Right.
What are they even talking about?
So let's do this. Like, David and I literally don't have a plan for this show. We're just kind of going in.
200.
So here's an idea, though. When we started this show, my business was in existence for about 6 months when we started coming up with the creative ideas for this show. So for those that don't know,
a little longer than that. A little bit.
Well, no. So like for those that don't know, my business was in existence for 6 months, and then like it seemed like it started fairly easy. And keep in mind, we still didn't have employees yet, but everything just went really well. And so that's when I started writing a book for how to start your own home service business. And I wrote the book, and it's still sitting here in my old laptop. But then we started to realize that like the people that would need this information, they're probably not book readers in their career yet. And so we decided to take all the information that was in the book and put it out in the form of the podcast. So that's how the podcast came around. And by the time I chatted with Dave and a couple of other host options, we started buying equipment for the podcast in November of 21.
Let's be transparent. Mitch bought it all.
Yeah. Started buying all the video equipment and audio equipment and everything else in November of 21. We started recording shows in December of 21. Those shows were first released in January of 22. And now my business is still around and thriving, obviously. And we're knocking on the door of 5 years in business. We're a month and a week away, maybe. August 1st, 2020 was our first day in business. So we're knocking on the door of our 5-year birthday in business. And, we're kicking ass and taking names. So,
yeah. You guys have done a really good job.
A lot of fun stuff. And so, you know, in the internet world where there's 1,000 gurus out there that have never done what they're claiming to be able to teach you on, we're legit. Like, you've owned an HVAC company. I own a plumbing company. We've led people. We've been in the industry for 25 years. Like, there's no guru stuff here. It's like real practical stuff. No sensationalized stuff either. You know, I didn't grow my business to $10, $20, $30 million a year in 5 years, and I exited, and I'm like a one-off sensationalized story.
Yeah, and then decided you were going to be a guru and sold a bunch of memberships, and then people get in there, and then they fold up, and it's worthless, and no one wants to go, and then they come back to Tradewinds because it sucks.
Yeah.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
Like, it just... To your point, though, all kidding aside, like real world practical knowledge is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to act like there's some kind of simple fix or some quick, just be a part of our program for 2 months and you're going to be a millionaire. No.
Right.
It takes hard work, it takes dedication, and it takes a knowledge base. Now, whether you gain that knowledge base on your own and it takes you 7 years, or you're part of a program, and I'm not saying we're the only good program.
Yeah.
Whether you're part of a program that helps you knock a couple years off of that, it's up to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? You and I have some very tangible, like down-to-earth advice that helps people go a long ways in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
You know?
And essentially, Tradewinds is like a board of advisors.
Yeah, and it's not just I probably don't give as much credit as I should to the other members mm-hmm. that have been in our group for a long time. Like we give them credit at the events and stuff. We gave out some awards last time. There are people in our group that there's no doubt in my mind, if they wanted to start their own mastermind or become a part of ours and be paid instructors or advisors or whatever, could do it.
Right.
Like, the wealth of knowledge inside of the group is vastly superior to anything that you and I have to offer on a daily basis.
Right.
There are guys in there that just, I mean, they know their shit. And it's really hard, like, all of these, I almost gave some examples of some gurus, but I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Like, when you join their programs, we'll just call them their programs, no one else in that group is helping you. They're tearing you down and are more of a hindrance sometimes.
Right.
Than necessarily guys that are in our group.
Right.
Guys in our group are willing to help you move forward.
Yeah.
I didn't mean for this to be a trade wind spiel, but
yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, it's different.
Yeah.
And I think the honesty and the transparency and the guys in the group make it really what it is, not necessarily just you and I.
We've done really good about putting together a really good culture to where we have a group that wants to support each other instead of viewing those others in the group like they're a competition against each other.
Yeah.
And like, one of the things, I'm just going to call it out like I see it. One of the things is, like, when you manage a group and you allow anonymous posts in the group. Now, this isn't going to be an anonymous post.
Are you going
rant.
An anonymous
no.
post rant?
Oh, no. So, like,
I was excited for 30 seconds,
when,
buddy.
When you have a very niche group, there's no need for anonymous posting, right? I could understand a few, like, on your community pages and all of that stuff. You're such a wide range of people in such a diverse group of issues and everything else.
Well,
I could understand, like, I can still disagree with the argument, but I can understand the argument for anonymous posts there.
Yeah, if you're trying to protect yourself or your family.
Right.
Like, that's, you know.
Right. And I will say that there's, like, a level of real world knowledge, a level of life skills that would circumvent the need to anonymously post. In other words, if you don't have resources, you don't know where to go to find the answers, you don't know that that answer's on Google, or you don't know that you can just call the police. Like, there are some people out there that they solve their drama by spilling the beans to everybody. And that's just their MO, is they want to tell everybody about all their problems.
Yeah.
And in those cases, if that's all the knowledge you have, then you're probably, if you have a very sensitive topic, you're going to go to a bunch of strangers in your community and ask for answers, even though you shouldn't. And you're going to be cowardice and post anonymously, right? Even though it's like I can't tell you how many times I see people ask for legal advice on the community awareness page, and it's like, none of these people are lawyers. None of these, like you're not going to be able to walk into the judge and be like, well, some guy on the internet said this, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and in their defense, I do think that, and I'll throw both of us under the bus here for a second. A bunch of people just, they don't know. I shouldn't say throw us under the bus. I don't want to, this is going to make me sound like an arrogant asshole. You and I are smart enough to know that that isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and
some people are, this is the correct use of ignorant, by the way. Some people are ignorant. And they just don't know. And so they go on there because they haven't been taught any better. And that doesn't mean that you or I are better than them. It just means that they don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have a good upbringing.
Ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorant means you don't know any better.
I know.
That's all it is.
But people take it as a bad word.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, sometimes people just aren't as... I'm not as smart as Elon Musk. I know that.
Right.
Okay? That doesn't mean I'm a dipshit.
Right.
You know, sometimes people just don't know. So a lot of the time, and I'm not battling your point here, I'm just saying, a lot of the time I will give those people a free pass because sometimes I think they just don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
but when you get into a very niche group, there was one today
to bring it
on.
Back, yeah.
Yeah. I was on like an HVAC group.
HVACR,
today.
Man. I'm on that thing all the time.
And somebody posted anonymously asking, what is your hourly rate and what is your billable efficiency?
That's a great question.
It's a phenomenal question. It's not one that I would ever answer to an anonymous poster.
Well,
because
that person could have a job. And the people they work with are on there also.
That's fine.
And they don't want to get fired.
Yeah, but going to a group on Facebook.
They don't want to get fired.
Right. But going to a group on Facebook is not going to solve the problems that you have with you and your boss. It's only going to make them worse. Right?
No, but if they're trying to figure out that, so when they go out on their own, and they don't want to get fired until they can go out on their own. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah. Well,
like, you know what I mean?
Some of that.
I'll answer that.
Yeah, but
if I see it.
But again, why go to a group of strangers on the internet that you can't vet their credibility? You know what I mean?
That's another point entirely. Yes.
Like if 100%. You're questioning what you should be charging.
I thought we were talking about anonymous.
Yes.
Like whether they should go there or not is a whole other point. No, they should not go there.
Right.
They should be a part of a group that actually understands what's going on.
Right. But like I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know if you're an employee of mine. I don't know if you're a competitor in town. I don't know if you're a bot. Like, I don't know. And so, I don't think bots can post anonymously, but you never know.
I don't know, man.
There's definitely a lot of bots out there, so I don't know how they couldn't.
I have been getting a lot of bot responses.
Oh, yeah.
Lately. Not on my personal stuff, but when I post on other people's stuff about politics or, to your point, some of those HVAC groups and stuff. I know. Like, yeah. That's, come on.
Yeah.
That's a bot. Right. Bot. You think fucking Zuckerberg would pull his head out of his fucking fat ass and figure it out?
Well, no, because the shareholders need to see a record number of users every month.
How
are you going to pump up the users?
You're 100% right. I don't know if we're going to get off topic here, but like, at what point does someone step in and be like, hello?
Right.
Like, do you think those people on that quote unquote board are smart enough to be like, hey, we need some have some regulation here internally to see what's going on?
Yeah. That's what Musk did with Twitter.
You know what? I will say this. I would like to, I say that a lot, I will say this. You know, there was that big thing of, like, Zuckerberg does he do Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah, some sort of MMA.
Whatever. If this somehow ever gets out there and Mark Zuckerberg wants to fight me, I would fucking 100% love to do it. I need is 30 days notice. I'm only 170 pounds. I weighed myself this morning.
Yeah.
I would love to fight that. Almost said the bad F word, not fuck. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
I hate him. He is a piece of shit.
Do you think winning an MMA match would get him to change his ways?
No, I would feel better.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about changing anyone's ways. I want to feel good about whipping some ass.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't need to fight him to do that.
Yeah, you're not going to change your wife's mind by really giving it to her. But you know what? You'll feel better about an argument.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I could.
She ain't changing her mind. Stop it! But you feel better.
Yeah.
In the short term,
I saw a post yesterday that said.
I should say long term too. I mean, come on.
I saw a post yesterday that said, "Guys, I need your help. My wife and I were just in a small disagreement, and she said I'm right. I don't know what to do next." And all the comments were like, "That's a trap.
Run, run, bitch, run."
Yeah. Plead the fifth. That's a trap.
Ugh. So. I'm going to make that Zuckerberg thing as short and get it out there. I would love for him to challenge me. I bet you, I wonder if
Joe probably get pulled off the platform for inciting violence.
Fuck that. I would love for Rogan to be like, hey man, I'll train you for free.
Yeah.
Dude.
Let's do it.
I'll tell you this right now. In 30 days, like, and if I have to focus for 30 days.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the way.
You know, I can't remember the last time I close-fisted, like, punched somebody.
Really?
I mean, I've gotten, like, physical and grabby and kind of, you know, like, shoving. I can't remember the last time I close-fist punched somebody.
I can remember.
It's got to be, like,
the last time.
It's got to be, like, middle school.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was good at verbal jiu-jitsu. I would talk myself out of an argument.
I will say this. I've taken two shots since the last time I gave one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's embarrassing, but yeah.
Well, is it?
Yeah.
Some guy at Arrowhead starting beef with you.
No.
And he punches you and you just eat it and stand there and be like, what now? Like, there's some nobility in just being able to eat it and not.
I'll give you this. One of them was, and the other one I went down. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. If you want to throw all the cards on the table, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? I would hate every fucking minute of this. But, like, if we get to the point where we get, like, 100,000 listeners through Spotify and Apple, and then there was, like, a push for you and I to be like in a UFC style fight, but it went to charity.
Oh, yeah.
Like a charity that you and I really cared about, yeah. I would do it.
Yeah.
I would hate every minute of it.
Maybe go boxing.
No, I'm not.
You want to go UFC?
Would have to do UFC. You've got like 4 inches on me.
Yeah.
We'd have to.
There's
got to
be an experience level, though, where the 4 inches doesn't matter.
That it's
like
UFC.
You actually have boxing experience. I don't.
I don't have boxing experience.
You and your brother used to put on gloves and box in the yard all the time.
Then you should definitely want to UFC fight. Your arms are longer than mine.
They're long.
We'd have to UFC. But I would do that.
Reach don't mean shit if you can't aim. What's funny
if I can't choke you out, I'm in trouble. That's my point.
In my algorithms, in my news feeds, I always get shown clips of UFC fights or MMA.
Yeah.
And
because it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. I love it. But it's fun to watch how exact these guys are. I was watching one the other day.
They're artists.
Like they break it all down.
They're amazing.
And they examine the foot position. And so immediately they say,
where's your footwork?
From this position, he's ready to attack with this part, or he's ready to defend from this part.
Yeah.
And then it shows his eyes, and he says he sees the right cross coming.
Yeah.
And so he blocks and spins.
Yeah.
And then as he's completing the spin, he reaches out with his left hand and like puts it on the guy's forehead. And they say this is him. He's self-measuring. He's spun around, but his eyes have not connected distance yet. So he's measuring the distance with his left hand. And then he comes over with a right cross and knocks the guy out.
Yeah.
And it's like, golly, this isn't just, I'm going to try to hit you because I see an opening. This is like, I see an opening and I have to bait you into going this way to get your arm to drop. And then I have to measure the distance and gauge it.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
It's super high tech. So Dan is a brown belt now.
Yep.
Congratulations to Dan.
Yep.
In jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wanted to do at one event like a full day, like where we go to a place that has open mats basically, and then he's an instructor with the instructors that are there.
Yeah.
And then like all of us get to
trade wins guys get to
Like not kick each other's ass, but like learn some valuable insights and lessons. I just like it hasn't been like we haven't been able to make it happen yet.
Yeah. We almost did last year. We almost pulled off a retreat in like Montana or Wyoming.
Yeah. I would maybe next. I know people wonder like when we say things like this, 8 months from now, 8 months goes by real quick and it takes a long time to put our events on, but maybe in 8 months, in February. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe I know he would do it.
Yeah.
He would be, dude, he'd be so fucking excited.
Yep.
He'd be like, fuck yeah, let's do it. He would love it. Everyone's got to get their own gi. Is it a gi?
Yeah.
Is that what they wear?
Yeah.
Got to get your own gi.
Speaking of events, we
our events. I was like, what are you fucking?
Just yesterday, we announced the speakers for our event that is coming up in Las Vegas. At the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on July 26th. So there'll be a link in the bottom of this show for tickets.
You're just putting more work on my plate.
Throwing you under the bus.
I got it.
Tickets are dirt cheap for events like this. It's very easy that ticket prices go $500,000 and more.
Ours are $199.
Ours are $199 for non-TradeWinds members. TradeWinds members get them for $99, depending on what level you're at. You also, it's like included in your membership. And so if you want to buy a month of TradeWinds membership and then get a ticket, you can do that. It just kind of depends. But you got to cover your airfare, and depending on what level of membership you are in TradeWinds, sometimes we even cover your lodging. But you always have to cover your airfare to get to Vegas. Luckily, Vegas is super cheap to fly to from about anywhere. This event that we're doing in July is all about marketing. The last event we did was about how to use social media to grow your business. And this one's more about digital marketing or the ever-changing face of digital marketing. And so we have four digital marketing agency owners lined up to come in and spread all kinds of game about how to use digital marketing in your business. And we know that a lot of our TradeWinds members are on the cusp of, do I need a marketer? Do I not need a marketer? What can I do myself? What do I need to pay somebody else to do? And all of those things. And that's exactly what we've instructed all these people to speak about, is all of those things. What marketing can you do yourself? What do you not need a marketing agency for? What marketing do you need an agency for? How to spot a good agency? How to spot a bad agency? What are some things you should be doing on the back end to make your agency perform better for you?
Yeah.
There's a lot of it's not like you hire a marketing agency and they just handle it for you. There's a lot of communications. I'm working with a marketing agency right now, and I spent an hour and a half in their office yesterday going over how we think things have gone for the last 2 months, what we want to see different, what we want to change, and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm setting them up for failure if I just hire them and say, market for me.
Yeah.
But I'm setting them up for success if I'm able to give them feedback and say, you know, here's our current job flow and our current average ticket and our current types of jobs we're getting, and we're able to measure all of those things. And so there's a lot of conversations you need to be having with your agency, and these guys are going to be talking about all of that. And then, as a really cool treat, we have one agency owner that is directing a lot of his clients towards ranking well on AI platforms, Gemini, ChatGPT, things like that.
I'm very interested in that talk.
It's really cool. So I was chatting with my marketing agency about it yesterday. And I mean, this is newer cutting edge stuff, but it's absolutely going there. And this gentleman thinks that in 1 to 3 years, and so far I don't have any reason to disbelieve him. He thinks that in 1 to 3 years, you're going to be able to open your AI platform on your phone, your ChatGPT or whatever. And you're going to be able to say, book me a service call on Wednesday at 2 o'clock with the best plumber in the area. And it will handle everything for you. It'll reach out to the company. It'll book the call. It'll give the company all of your information because it already knows your information. And then it'll give you a confirmation to say, yes, your appointment with ABC company is for Wednesday at, you know, they didn't have a 2, they had a 2:30 or whatever, right?
Man, and that's crazy.
It is crazy. And so
it's insane to think about.
To be on the front edge of that is really cool. I would hate to be one of those companies that's like stuck in the old ways and not using computers yet, because now not only do you have to figure out computers, but now you got to figure out AI too. Because I'm willing to bet that AI searches will be a very predominant force, like 50-50 versus like Google searches.
I would say a year from now, 100%.
Yeah.
A year and a half.
And the main reason why at this time is because AI searches, there's still a feeling of being genuine with those.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that you buy your search ranking on Google. And so Google isn't necessarily the best answer. Google is the company that paid the most to be in that spot to provide the answer.
Yeah.
You know, remember that Google ranks pages. They don't rank websites. And so if you have a page on your website that does well, it's going to rank well.
Yeah.
And, but you got to, I mean, that only comes with paying somebody to create a really good page. That only comes with paying somebody to run search engine optimization on that page and everything else. And so essentially you're buying the ranking spot. Whereas with ChatGPT, it's going off the average input of all of the internet. It's going into conversations that are happening on Reddit. It's going into conversations that are happening in the comments on YouTube. It's going into Wikipedia.
Do you think it pulls off Facebook?
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
very little pulls off Facebook. So this guy shared with me.
So that'll be the next step.
It could be. Wait for Facebook to come out with their AI, and then they're going to...
So it ties into that?
Right.
Yeah, because there's no... The only... I'm not a skeptic of AI. I think it's bad for humanity. I think if you don't understand it, you're going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
But when when everything is tied to AI, the truth will come out regardless. You know what I mean? And
I think it stands a better chance to, yeah.
And in part of Facebook will help with that. If you're a shitty plumbing contractor, where is all of that information? It's
right.
Inside of Facebook.
Could
you know
be.
What I mean?
Yeah.
People in those community groups all over the country are talking about Smedley sucks fucking ass.
Right.
You're ranked through AI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone goes on Reddit. Hey, and I'm speaking of it as if you were a, you know, corporation of 200 employees.
Yeah. No,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? You go to AI, is Smedley Plumbing any good? And half of the conversation is shit.
Yeah.
Well, you're ranked inside of that group throughout the country of where is it? And
yeah.
then AI is going to use that. Oh, you're inside of the Smedley service area. You're going to be knocked down a few pegs.
Right.
And I'm not saying you. I'm just using you as an
yeah.
example. It's real, and it's going to happen.
Yeah. So, we did a beta test yesterday. What gets measured improves. And you can't have improvement unless you measured the first time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so I was sitting in my marketing agency's office, and... We went to two of the most popular AI platforms and said, we asked it, who is the best plumber in Blue Springs? And we did not show up on there.
Who was it?
And
just tell me.
It is a bunch of randoms.
Yeah.
That aren't even based out of Blue Springs.
Yeah.
One of them's 30 miles away up north. But then once you understand where those platforms are getting their information, one of the platforms gets a lot of its information from Yelp, Angie's Leads, Home Advisor, Reddit, and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, we aren't on Yelp. We don't do Angie's Leads. We don't do Home Advisor.
Yeah.
I don't have a Reddit, although I say that. I'm trying to figure out Reddit. Reddit is actually, AI gets a lot of info from Reddit.
Reddit's huge in big cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just got a Reddit account, and holy cow, it's like the Wild Wild West.
It is the Wild Wild West. That's a great way to say it.
It's like a hybrid between Craigslist and MySpace almost. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, if you took Marketplace, Craigslist, and then made them have sex, and then a baby came out, it would be Reddit.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then Google was their psychotic uncle feeding it beer.
Yeah.
That is what Reddit is.
Yeah. And so these companies that aren't AI doesn't know any better. It's just
no, it doesn't.
Where it gets its information from. My company doesn't exist in those platforms. And so then we just went off and asked it, what about Smedley Plumbing? Aren't they based in Blue Springs? And it was like, yes, it looks like. And basically now it's just kind of giving you an overview of the summary of your brand on the internet.
Yeah.
It talks about they are very highly reviewed with a 4.9 rating. They have over 1,200 reviews. Most of the reviews talk about X, 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 and X. They bullet point the reviews. And they give you, you can tell they're grabbing info off my website.
Yeah.
Because they're grabbing stuff from there. And so ultimately, I had to go extra steps to get it to even find me, my
yeah.
company. And so it's obviously very apparent that neither one of them, Gemini is owned by Google.
Yeah.
Gemini does not use any traditional Google metrics for ranking on AI.
It's because they're trying to get into another platform.
Yes.
Because they already own Google.
And
yeah.
so, in other words, it doesn't matter how many Google reviews you have. It doesn't, I had more reviews from every company that was listed better than us. I had more reviews and a higher rating than every other company. We had a 4.9. The next closest person had a 4.7.
It's crazy.
And we have 1,200 and something reviews, and the next closest company had 600. And so it's not that we aren't the best in Blue Springs. It's just we aren't showing up on the platforms that give ChatGPT the data to let us pop up in a search query.
Did you think to ask it, what should Smedley do?
Yeah, we did.
To be better
oh,
in
we totally
this
did.
AI. What did it say?
We asked where
did it say go on Reddit and start a blog?
Yes. So that's, we asked it, why didn't Smedley show up in these five things, and what should Smedley be doing to show up as a recommended?
What did it say?
And it said that we gather all, it didn't tell us directly. It basically said where it gets its information from for okay. that query.
Okay. And that's good information to have.
Yeah. That was the Angie's List, Home Advisor, Yelp, Reddit, Wikipedia.
That's crazy.
Things like that. So
all of that being said, to wrap the point up, come to the fucking event and figure out what the hell's going on.
Right.
I knew something like that was coming. Like mm-hmm. you could sense it in the last, cause like how long's AI really been working? A year?
Right.
Maybe. Like you could tell something was changing. Google LSA was changing. Mm-hmm. Things have been different. It's hard to market.
Yep.
Like this is why.
Yep.
Because AI is starting to make that transformation from traditional Google search to AI to whatever the next step is going to be that we don't know what it's going to be.
Right.
That's crazy, man.
Right.
That's crazy. It's interesting. You know, we talked about episodes 1 through 9. And like our video course, we have, I think it's 2 episodes on the video course where we talk about Google LSA and how it works and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. Like literally in less than 5 years, it's gone from that to no Google LSA to AI to what the fuck is next.
Right.
And if you, I don't want to throw our old members under the bus. If you don't accept that we're being left behind as older guys in the industry as far as how to market mm-hmm. using AI and ChatGPT and all that kind of stuff, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You royally. Are fucked.
Yep.
Dude, accept it and move on and try to learn. If you got to hire someone that's a quote-unquote office manager to understand all of that different AI and Facebook and blah, 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 do it.
Yep.
Because you're going to be left in the dust and you're going to be fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say things like that, but man, it's true.
Well, and a lot of that starts out by putting yourself in groups of people that are doing the same thing you are. And so you can start getting exposure to these cutting edge things while vetting it with a group of trusted individuals. In other words, if you aren't a part of any kind of group, any kind of network, right? And I'm not talking Facebook groups. Facebook groups are a group, but there is no way to trust the members in that group. They're all strangers. You don't know them, right?
Well, they haven't been vetted.
And so if you're a part of a paid group, and the significance with the paid group is the careless people won't join a paid group. And so
scammers won't join a paid group.
Yeah. And the trollers also won't join a paid group, right? And so if you're a part of a paid group, it doesn't matter if it's our group or any group, you can trust the people in that group more than anybody else because they're paying to be there too. And so so much value comes from, like, you see all these advertisements trying to cram AI this and AI that down your throat, and it's very hard to trust any of it. Now, you align yourself with a group, and you start realizing, like, hey, they're using this AI answering service, and they're having great success with it. And they're using the same one, and they're having great success with it.
Yeah.
Now it's not an advertiser pitching their product to me. Now I'm getting to see it from the other end, and I now feel a lot more comfortable with AI.
No, you have essentially paid to have that service vetted for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Like, you can pay. There are vetting services out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I want to find out about this. I want to find out about that. I want to find out about this. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people that will vet a lot of the stuff for you. You got to pay for that.
Yeah.
But rather than pay for vetting on a one-off scenario, you can get a lot of vetting just by joining a paid mentorship group.
Or just align yourself with people that are in the same area that you're in.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a Tradewinds pitch. There are a lot of groups that are, they're free, yes, but you still have to vet the individuals
and you still
you're taking advice from.
And you still got to hold people in the group accountable.
Yeah, but like you're saying, the ones that are paying to be in those groups, like, the vetting process is nil.
Yeah. I mean, I go to lunch with four other business owners once a month.
Another group I've never been invited to eat with. Got it. Understood.
Want to come Thursday?
What time?
You say this, and every time I invite you, you're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm
you don't say every time I invite you. Thursday. This would be the first invite.
Thursday. Okay. It's usually last Wednesday of the month, but there was a conflict, and so we pushed it to Thursday.
Is this the last Wednesday and Thursday of the month?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But this isn't a paid group. Like, we all pay for our own meals. We all hold each other accountable. We have a group chat that we're all a part of.
Well, you're paying with your time.
You're paying with your time, but also it's one of those things. And none of these guys have a business like mine. One of them owns a flooring store. One of them owns firework stands. One of them sells real estate. One of them's an educator.
Ugh,
so like
that guy's out of my group every yeah. time.
But they're still business owners that we can still share in the successes and struggles and all that stuff. You know, there's some things in business you can't brag about to public. If you have record profits one month, there's a lot of people that don't want to brag about that.
Yeah, you don't want to, when people do that, it will turn off your purchasing base immediately.
Yeah, yeah, your customers kind of feel like, well, yeah. I don't need to shop there. They had record profits, yeah. right?
Well, and people feel like that sometimes because they just want to help the low guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, you know, those types of groups, my group that I go out with these guys, you know, I can have record profits and I can tell them exactly to the penny exactly how much profit we made last month.
Yeah.
And they celebrate it.
Hell yeah, dude.
They
nice.
Say, keep it going. Let's
You're
go.
You're buying lunch today, bro.
No, they'll even go the other way. They'll be like, let me buy you a drink in celebration, right?
Yeah.
And that's how you know it's the right group. When, like, football players do this all the time. Helping my buddy move that works for the Chiefs got me, like, we had a couple of 1 hour car rides.
Yeah.
Doing this move. And so.
Is this the guy over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone's
like, what the fuck was he talking? I'm pointing.
Yeah, he's pointing at his house. He talks about, like, the educational programs that all the rookies have to go through in their first year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's required by the NFL.
Yep.
And the Chiefs bring, they work with a local dealership, and they bring, they put all these rookies through an exercise, kind of like we did in high school, where it's like, here's your money.
Oh, okay.
And here's the cars that you have available. Which one are you picking? And they'll, I mean, they go ultra fancy to ultra basic to ultra, like, purpose duty rated and all this stuff. And it's like, there's really no wrong answers, but it's really just kind of show the guys like, hey, don't blow all your wad yeah. in your rookie year.
There was a huge thing from like 1995 to 2015, 2010, maybe, where it was like, these guys are broke and we don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're spending all their money on bullshit because no one's teaching them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
That's good. Good on the NFL.
Well, yes, but he was like, it's really funny to stand there and watch because you have these guys that their whole life they're looked at like a football player, nothing more.
Yeah.
They're not overly intelligent. And he's not calling them dumb. What he's saying is they're the average level of intelligence. They just excel in football, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not like these guys are great at football, but and they're also great with money.
It would be the same thing as if you gave a 22-year-old kid a $3 million lottery prize.
Right.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, same
it's
thing.
Not that they're bad character. It's that they just don't know better.
Yeah. A 22-year-old kid, in general, is not overly intelligent. Right?
Yeah. They're dumb.
Yeah. And so...
Sorry.
What he talks about is, like, these guys have these friend groups, these kind of entourages that follow them around.
Yeah. Spend well, this. Then they do this. Buy that.
Then they strike it big in the NFL,
yeah.
and their entourage actually drags them down.
Yeah,
because they're not around the like-minded. Like, in other words, their mind has now been forced to change. So their entourage is no longer a like-minded group of individuals.
Yeah,
because the entourage is largely just suckling off the money teat that is the NFL player.
Yeah,
and so a lot of their coaching has to do with, like, let's get you around the right people. Let's get you around the right group. Let's get you to it. It's the old joke, you can take the gangster out of the ghetto, but you can't ever take the ghetto out of the gangster type yeah. of thing.
Can you imagine, like, for example, if you had won the lottery at 22, let's say 19, and you and I are still best friends, and I'm like, Mitch, we got to get a kilo of cocaine.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
I convince you that we're going to buy it, and we're going to split it up, and we're going to sell it. And then I end up doing half of it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
kids just don't have guidance.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you see a lot of NFL players, you know, they'll get pulled over for going 140 miles an hour on the highway in their exotic car or whatever. They just struggle with decision-making skills.
Yeah.
Unlike Kirk Cousins. Did you hear he got pulled over last week?
What was he doing?
43 miles an hour under the speed limit.
You know what?
It's a joke. He wasn't actually pulled over for that. But
first off, I would say, and that's why he ain't won a Super Bowl, because he's too fucking timid. Because he can play quarterback, God damn it.
Yeah.
Someone get that guy a ring.
That guy is so mild.
I know. And that's a whole nother topic that we could talk about is, you know, mild personalities versus people that are on the edge.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have a little edge sometimes to be a champion.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a little out there.
Yeah.
You got to be banging IHOP waitresses in the back of cars to, you know, win the Masters. I'm just saying.
Whatever it takes.
It's whatever it takes, man. What were you saying? See, I fucked you up your whole spiel.
Yeah.
That's what having bad friends that are bad influences, that's what it'll do to you.
Man, I had something I was going to say, too.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. Did you see the, at this last Masters?
Masters was in April.
Not Bryson. Who was the golf? Maybe it was Bryson. Last year in the Masters, who got arrested? Got pulled over?
Scheffler.
So, and then Scottie Scheffler, I think, won it this year, right? And so they were like, oh, such a turnaround year. And they showed his mugshot from last year and then his holding the green jacket, you know, wearing the green jacket.
Did he win this year?
I think he did.
Let me look it up.
He won.
I can't remember.
If he didn't win the Masters, then he won a big tournament and then they dropped that turnaround photo. And it was so bogus because, like, he never should have been arrested. Like, I'm pretty sure the cop that arrested him got fired.
Scheffler won last year.
Last year. Okay.
After being detained.
Rory won this year. Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, it's just funny to see that.
4.2 million to win a golf tournament?
Yeah.
Like,
that doesn't include endorsements.
I don't want to be like, no, that's just the prize for the Masters tournament is 4.2. Yeah. I don't want to be one of those people.
Go look at,
like,
last place.
That no. Because I'll be mad at that, too.
It's better than your annual salary.
All you got to do is make the cut. That's my point. Like, I don't want to be one of those anti-American people that's like, we got to change our ways. It's like, man, but you just played some golf. Yeah, you played it at a high level.
Well.
God damn, 4.2. Fuck.
So, I mean, you kind of look at that. Like,
you know what? I'll fight Rory McIlroy, too.
The WNBA. You know, they like to gripe about wages.
Man, I saw a good one the other day. I'll see if I can find it.
Did you see Caitlin Clark get railed on here recently, like in the last week?
Did she start doing OnlyFans?
No. different kind of railing.
I love Caitlin Clark, by the way.
Yeah, no, I think she's really good for the sport and everything else. It seems kind of wild. The WNBA bitches about not getting fair pay and everything else, and then they have, like, the single biggest WNBA superstar ever gets into the WNBA, and they spend the whole time, like, mauling her.
So she – let's talk about Caitlin Clark for a little bit. So she made $78,000 this year.
Uh-huh.
I think she is going to make $78,000.
On salary from the WNBA.
And the rookie of the year in the NBA, I think, made $12 million. And so they had this big deal of, you know, why aren't the WNBA players making as much as the NBA players? You know, which when it comes to the percentage of revenue that you bring in, I 100% agree with that. She should be making way more than $78,000.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason people are watching the fucking WNBA right now is because of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Because the WNBA fucking sucks. That Angel Reese fucking sucks. She can't play basketball.
Yeah.
She's just being a fucking racist bitch all the time. Like, it's awful. But, like, she should be making more. But then I got to, like, looking at it further, and they were showing, like, her deals, like, her side deals she's making money on. That girl is killing it.
WNBA is not a moneymaker. It's a platform for a moneymaker.
Yeah. Well,
it sets it's the stage for you to shine on and then make all your deals outside of that.
Yeah. Did you see, I know we're rambling a little bit here, but did you see, so she's been getting fouled right and left because it's a race thing. all the black girls don't like her. She's come in as a rookie and is...
And she's good.
And she's good, and she's the best freaking player,
yeah.
Right? And so they're owning her. They've the teammates, even if they're white girls, are going after her. Did you see the girl that's her enforcer now?
Oh, yeah. Sophia Cunningham. Dude,
first
yeah.
off, like, I'm not into tall chicks. That bitch is a smoke show.
Yeah.
She is fucking hot as hell. And she literally makes... No rebounds, no points, no nothing. She goes on the field and just throws that bitch to the ground. I was like, oh, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Hottest thing I've seen in yep. years.
And so what's funny, she was a black belt in karate at like 10. I shit you not.
I'd rather fight Zuckerberg than that girl.
Yeah.
She's huge.
Yeah.
And, no thanks.
And so, yeah, it's just kind of weird that like, hey, you guys are bitching about your wages and here comes this personality that can actually affect change, right? You take Angel yeah. Reese. Angel Reese, and they sell like 10,000 tickets to a game. But then Caitlin Clark shows up, and they sell 30,000 tickets to a game.
The fuck
right?
out.
And so it's like, don't shoot the messenger here. Like, she's sent to the WNBA to help affect change, and you guys are like trying to beat her up.
Yeah, a rising tide raises all ships, and they're right. like, nope.
So,
nope.
Did you see Sophie Cunningham was fined $400 for her retaliation against the girl that picked on Caitlin Clark?
Can you imagine the ROI on that $400?
I mean, dude, I just think it's crazy. You fine somebody two games worth of pay?
Stop! Don't be an asshole. There are two women that are my heroes. Right? I told Janine this the other day. I said, "Look, babe, I love you." But I got a couple crushers right now. And Cunningham was one.
Yeah.
And Caroline Levitt's the other.
I like Caroline Levitt's personality. I'm not attracted to her physically, but I love...
Have you seen her...
I love her comebacks. I love her clapbacks.
Have you seen her bikini pics?
Yeah. I like them a little skinnier than that. I'm not frowning on it. I'm just saying I like them a little skinnier. I like them a little leaner.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to crush you on the podcast right now or not. Do you want me to crush you or just let it go?
Well, I mean, you typically do.
I love you, and this is like one of those... You ever have those moments when there's like the angel on this side and there's the devil on this side and they're battling. They're like, yeah. Crush him. No, you're a good person, Dave. And then one of the loves like, fucking burn his ass to the ground.
Yeah.
Dude... Your wife, 3 months ago, before she started taking Wegovy, was bigger than Caroline Levitt.
Not 3 months ago.
Well, whenever she started taking
2 years ago. Yeah, she was.
And she wasn't big.
Yeah. Well, my wife's also 5'10".
So's Caroline Levitt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought she was a lot shorter.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
She's extremely attractive, and her attitude...
I love her attitude.
Dude, she is crushing motherfuckers yeah. out there.
I love it when she's like, what a stupid question. And next.
or she says, what a stupid question, crushes them, looks them in the eye, and says, next question. Like, it's like,
yeah.
holy fuck.
Yeah.
She is a badass.
Yeah.
Like, she takes no... Can you imagine a more... Like, let me ask you a serious question. Is there a more high-pressure job than hers?
No, I don't. I really don't think there is. Like, she is literally the hourglass, the pinch of the hourglass.
I know.
Between the administration and the public, and she is just getting attacked from all sides 24/7.
Dude, there's
a reason that they go through them like every 18 months.
There's 20 people in that conference room, and 19 of them are against her, and one of them is for her.
Yep.
And she crushes every one of their bullshit, and it doesn't fade her. She doesn't, like, hesitate.
Yep.
She gives no fucks.
Yep.
And just keeps... Like, I can't remember. Like, Trump had that other girl. She had long, like, black hair.
Kayleigh McEnany.
Yes. She was good.
Well, Kayleigh McEnany was blonde.
Then that's not who I'm
That was
of.
The first one. And then Trump did go to a different one after that.
That had dark long hair. Yep. She was good, too. Dude, none of them can hold a candle to this girl.
No, no, yeah.
And I'm not just saying Republican. Like, yep. what's her actual job status? What's her title? I cannot remember what it is. It just slipped my mind.
Press secretary. Right?
Press secretary.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a press secretary for either side in the history of America that's been as badass as this bitch is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she is amazing.
Well, and
that she makes me feel bad about myself for not knowing enough.
Yeah.
She's that good.
What she's really good at is she's really good about calling out questions to where they bait you in with a question just to get you to say some words. So, because they assume they know how you're going to answer it.
Yeah.
So then they can conveniently edit, take it, everything out of context. And then it's like the a few good people or whatever on the good people on both sides or whatever they took Trump out of context with last year when they were asking him to denounce white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
But
they pulled the parts.
They pulled the parts that suited their narrative and tried to make it sound like he was in support of white supremacy. And if you believe that, then you're going to follow the stories that have you believe it. I just posted today about linkers.
Yeah.
The people that love to combat with links. You know, show me your proof. Show me a link. And it's like, bro.
I responded, Google.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's called Google.
Yeah. It's like, I've known you for like 2 minutes and I haven't enjoyed either of them. And so I'm not doing your homework for you.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, people are lazy, so they want to take whatever CNN or Fox or MSNBC or Newsmax says, and they're like, nope, that's fact. They gave me the responses I wanted, blah, blah, blah. No. Look that shit up for yourself and, you know, try to have some imagination and some, like, brain power working and make up your own goddamn mind, man.
Well,
what the fuck?
Understand the bias that is the agency you're getting it from. And so now you have to, it's kind of like guys in the rule of three.
I had no idea that's where you were going, but yeah, that makes complete sense.
Right. If a guy's bragging about how many chicks he's been with, divide that by three.
Yeah.
Right?
If a girl's telling you she's not a slut,
if...
times it by three.
Well, and if a guy is talking to his girlfriend about how many girls he's been with, you got to multiply that one by three.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
But we already know that CNN is going to be biased towards one side. Yeah. We know that Fox is going to be biased towards the other side. And so, yeah. Like,
look it up.
You have to, like, let's just be real. The day after the bombings in Iran that Trump just did, I spent 30 minutes watching Fox News. And I spent 30 minutes watching CNN because I wanted the most non-biased information I could.
30 minutes on BBC.
No, I just did an hour. I was like, I'm not giving more than an hour to this.
It takes a lot of time to research. And that's why people don't do it.
Them freaking talking heads just talk about nothing. But like, I had to go in, okay, CNN's talking this, and you know, CNN's talking about all the people that disagree with the fact that it even had to happen and everything else. Okay, maybe. And then now I go over to Fox. And it's like, all right, they're talking about, you know, rah, rah, like nut swinging on Trump.
Yeah.
Right. And so then I'm able to make my own opinion from a combination of the information I got from the two that is somewhere in between what CNN was reporting and what Fox was reporting.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't like the people that are like, confirm it with a link. Show me a link. Because a link is is a published person's opinion.
Do you want four links from Fox? Do you want four links from CNN? Do you want one from BBC? Like, regardless of the link I send you, it's going to be biased one way or the other. Which one do you want?
I mean,
or do you want to go online and search and make up your own fucking mind and not be a dipshit?
Right. And like, if you confirm everything through links, that just tells me that you're an addict of confirmation bias, which means you don't actually want to find like reasonable middle ground truth. You just look for links that confirm your pre-existing bias in a situation.
Well, it's like liberals, that meme that says liberals want you to think like them and conservatives just want you to think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And just make up your own mind. Like, why don't you do some research and, you know, cipher through the facts and then decide.
Yeah. You know, in like, there are brilliant opinions out there that are unpublished. That doesn't mean we should discredit them. Right?
Yeah, of course not.
It's you see this in the legal system a lot. But you can't speak to that because you're not a psychologist. You're right. I'm not a psychologist. But, like, I am a parent. I'm referring back to the recent court thing that I was just in. And the other party came with an attorney. And the attorney tried objecting to some of my statements, saying that, no, you can't speak to that because you're not a child psychologist. And I was able to say, like, you're right.
And neither are you, dog.
But I've got a combined 29 years of parenting experience from my two children There is no child psychologist out there that knows my kids better than me.
Well, what justifies a child psychologist that doesn't have a kid of their own to
right.
be an expert in any area?
Yeah.
People want to act like you have to have this fucking piece of paper to be an expert in something.
Right.
Like, why would I trust a child psychologist more than myself that's less successful than me in the real world?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
well,
like, where do we draw the line of... you know, who's better or whose decisions or, you know, judgment is better than mine.
Right. And that's where Twitter and Community Notes is so awesome, because like Community Notes allows you to see opinions of everybody. Community Notes is almost like a live ChatGPT speed up of the conversation. In other words, the community notes are going to help you understand what most people are thinking about it.
I agree with that. And I think there's a lot of like, situations where that works, right?
Right.
But then when I think about where I am versus where most of the average dipshit Americans are, regardless of our viewpoints, like why would I trust the majority when
right.
I know I'm doing better than the majority?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And so like another recent example was I had made a Facebook post about the election results colored in red and blue by county across the nation.
I saw that, yeah.
And then crime rate colored in red and blue by the county.
Yeah.
And it's crime rate per capita. This isn't crime rate per landmass.
Yeah.
It's population based.
Yeah.
And so in other words, a town of 5,000 has one crime. That's one in 5,000. A town of 25,000 has five crimes. That's going to be the same crime rate per capita.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
densely populated cities have more crime. Because the people that want to live there are fucking stupid.
Probably.
No.
Or they're indentured to the democratic system.
They're dumb.
Yeah.
If you feel like you can live in a cage like that, your brain doesn't work.
Yeah. And so I just...
Move.
I just simply posted them and said, you know, like, make your own assumptions. Like, I didn't post
was
them...
Was there
and,
a bunch of response?
Yeah. There was a lot. And there was a lot of assumed response from me. Like, there were a lot of people that were assuming.
Yeah, people do that.
I was literally just saying, hey, here's a crime map. Here's a electoral map of the election.
What do you think?
And, you know, a lot of...
You're a racist.
Yeah.
All I did was ask a question.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me a racist.
And I think it just goes to show that Democratic-led cities have higher rates of crime. And I had somebody trying to argue with me and trying to say... all of this kind of ties to like my wife's Jeep getting stolen and almost stolen and everything else. And it's like the rising crime rate in Kansas City, like 2021, there were 4,500 cars stolen. Last year, there were 8,000.
Jesus.
That's almost 100% increase in 4 years.
Did you see, I don't mean to get you off track. So last year that we had a new prosecutor put in
mm-hmm.
and there were like five murders this last weekend. And so she was on the streets with a bunch of other people saying, we are prosecuting every crime we can,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to keep doing it. Like she was, and
I'll believe it when I see it.
I believe her, but yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
You know,
I hope
she's doing what she can do.
Right.
I hope she's doing her fucking job.
So I had somebody trying to tell me that crime rate is actually shrinking in Kansas City. And I'm like,
what a retard. Who was that?
Absolutely not. And they pulled some odd stat. And this is why the linkers is the dumbest thing ever. They send me a link showing that the murder rate went down. I'm like, cool. That's like under 150 murders. Okay.
Yeah.
It's still three a week in Kansas City, but
it's still unacceptable.
Right.
5 years ago, it was like 90.
Right. But
I just know that
outside of that, murders is not crime rate. Well, I'm talking violent crime. Okay, there's a lot of violent crime that doesn't result in murder.
Robbery, rape, assault. Are you saying that those aren't violent crimes?
Well, and then they say, well, those are the crimes that people actually care about. And I said, tell that to the 8,000 people that lost their car last year.
Yeah.
I said, murder affects a few people greatly. And one could probably argue that half of the murders... I'm not going to say they had it coming, but in the crowd you're hanging around with, you can't be surprised it hit you close to home, right?
That's a dark way to think about it, but you're 100% right.
I mean, it's not 150 white-collar males in the suburbs where the people from the ghetto are fleeing the ghetto and murdering strangers, right? These murders are happening from altercations and people that don't know how to de-escalate a situation.
Mostly drug deals.
Right.
Mostly prostitution deals.
Possibly car thefts. Right?
Car thefts. street gambling is huge in Kansas City now.
Yep.
Guys are gambling and they're, you owe me $500. They get in an argument and one guy gets shot and killed.
Yeah.
Over $500 fucking dollars.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when you're doing those types of activities, you can't be surprised when murder hits close to home. But we're talking 150 murders and we're talking 8,000 stolen cars. You'll never convince me that if we drop the murder rate from 150 to 140 and then the stolen car rate goes from 8,000 to 10,000, that somehow that means less crime. It's 10 less murders. It's still 1,990 more crimes.
Crime in our area, crime in the Wyandotte County and the Jackson County, Wyandotte's on Kansas,
mm-hmm.
Jackson's on Missouri, is fucking out of control.
It is.
It's fucking out of control, man.
It is wild.
Businesses are choosing to close their doors and leave. And like immigrant businesses, like down off Southwest Boulevard.
Yeah. The Mexican area.
The Mexican population.
Hispanic. Yeah. Yeah.
The Hispanic, you're right, Hispanic population on Southwest Boulevard. There were tons of nail shops, restaurants.
If you wanted
bodegas,
yeah.
like little markets where you could only buy things that are Hispanic heritage, like handmade corn tortillas, things of that nature.
Yeah,
they've all gone because the crime rate's so fucking high.
Yeah, Kansas City used to have kind of like Little Italy.
Yeah,
Kansas City
like a little Mexico.
It was like a little
Southwest
Mexico.
Boulevard. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was a whole like for blocks in several directions.
Yeah,
and very much like Little Italy in New York. For blocks in several directions, it felt like you were in Italy. You had that here in Kansas City,
dude,
and all that's gone.
Those little restaurants, so it was like, I can't remember the big one on the south end of Southwest Boulevard under I-35. It's out of business now. But like all the way past to where the crossroads was.
Ponax is what you were thinking of.
Oh, you're right. All the way up that street, there mm-hmm. were like 15 little taco places that you could stop and get 3 tacos
right.
for like $10. They were amazing. They're
yep.
all gone.
All gone.
They're
yeah.
all gone because of the fucking crime
yeah.
in that area.
And but ultimately, like, that's the problem with like confirmation bias and everything else, is that particular individual, they're convinced crime is dropping because that's what the media outlets that they trust are telling them. And
because the media outlet said, we're going to go off on murders and say crime's dropping.
Right.
For whatever reason.
And so then he can find any stats and any links to support his claim, just like I could find any stats and any links to support mine. Right. And they're so narrow minded to say, no, this is the stat. I found this stat. I trust this one. And if I give you a link, you didn't find it on your own. You don't trust it. And so you'll refute it and you'll discredit the source
yeah.
or something. Right.
Yeah.
And but the problem is, like, that happens with business advice all around. If it can happen with like political things, political ideology and governmental ideology and everything else, it can totally happen in business. And you have all these peons that are running around in Facebook groups that don't own a business, that act like they do or try to weigh in on that kind of stuff. You don't want your vetted information from that. You want your vetted information coming from people that have put forth the effort to join a group of people that plunked down the money, that put the coin in there to say, like, no, I want to learn from those guys,
yeah.
right? When I was a part of Apex, I'm going to say 80 to 85% of the Apex members were good, upstanding people. And, you know, I was immediately more trusting to do business with an Apex person than any stranger, simply because Apex was expensive. And if they're willing to put that much money out there, then they're on the growth path and want to do the right things too.
Yeah.
And obviously there's bad apples in every situation, but
you minimize
yeah.
how many bad apples there are.
It takes putting yourself in unconventional situations to get unconventional results. Conventional results are most businesses go out of business in the first 5 years. And so if you're going to start your business and you want to last longer than 5 years, don't get conventional information. Get unconventional information from
yeah.
unconventional people. In other words, if your parents have never owned a business, don't take business advice from your parents. That doesn't mean your parents are bad people. They just can't help you in that area.
Yeah.
Right?
They may not have the knowledge you need.
Right.
experience.
If your parents have been divorced multiple times, don't get relationship advice from them.
You talking about my dad?
And just anybody, right? Like, our parents are great sources of info, but as we age and mature, we got to understand they may not know everything about everything, right?
Yeah. And that's a very humbling thing when you're a young man coming up and you're like, you know what? That motherfucker don't know everything I thought he knew.
Yeah.
Like, ah, shit.
Yeah. But in the same token, you realize, wow, that stuff, that advice he did give me was pretty badass.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. It's,
you don't want to admit it, but it is.
It's give and take.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh, that was fantastic. This was shit.
Yeah.
And like, when you become, quote unquote, an adult, part of that is the realization of these things were great, these things were shit. Now, what do I do with them now that I know that?
Right.
Is what is going to develop my character and help me move forward and help me help the generation, you know, underneath us.
Right.
You know, that's coming after. Because, man, can you imagine, like, being 12 now?
You're going to go old on me.
Dude, can
these kids, this next generation, are worthless.
That's not what I mean. I mean, like, you and I were probably one of the last generations to see the world as free as you can see it.
Like, I would probably argue the one generation right behind us, because we're on the tail end of millennial versus what, Gen Z.
So when we were coming up, we were told we were Gen X.
Yeah.
And the cutoff on Gen X was 1980.
Yeah.
And I'm in 81. Yeah. So
I'm in 82, and so now they do like this overlap where they try
it's
to
like
say
from
you're
79 to 83.
Yeah.
Like I tell my brother all the time he's the first millennial.
Yeah.
Because he was born in 83. Like, he's the first millennial.
Yeah. Well, and there's a distinct difference between you and your brother. And
100%.
And not just like biologically and everything else. I'm just talking about, like, your brother fits the MO of a millennial.
Oh, yeah.
And we fit the MO of
I'm a Gen Xer.
Gen X or whatever it is.
Gen Z's after millennial, by the way.
Okay.
X, millennial.
So I would say all the way through the millennial era,
halfway through the millennial, I'll give you that.
If I had to be, if you told me, like, if you could be in any other generational bracket, I would probably say put me 10 years later.
Oh, I'd say to put me 10 years earlier.
I could go both ways. So if you put me 10 years later, the technology boom. You're steepening up, like you're advancing that curve.
Yeah, so you'd know,
you're younger.
You'd know modern technology more than
a lot
you do
better,
now.
Right?
I don't want to know none of that shit.
But I would also argue, like, I wish I could have grown up in the 70s.
The cars.
It would have been really cool to, like, be 18 in, like, 1968 to 71. The music was badass. The cars were badass.
You mean been born in the 60s? Early 60s.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, born early 60s, to where, like, during the prime childhood years, your youth years.
Yeah.
You're like late 60s,
when
early
70s. When you're 10 years old, the 68 Camaro comes out, or 67 Camaro comes out.
Somewhere 10 to 18. Yeah, you've got all of those
pony
cars.
The problem with that is you're going to Vietnam. That's the only problem.
This is true.
My whole thing is, not to get, we're already off topic, it doesn't matter. Like, if I'd have been born 6 years earlier or 7 years earlier, I could have seen Guns N' Roses live in the 80s.
You and I saw the Eagles, at least.
Yeah, on their fucking downhill spiral, but yeah.
I almost
dude,
got
Guns N'
that
Roses,
night.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses in 89, whew, that would have been awesome.
That
88,
The Eagles were in concert in Kemper Arena downtown. We go down there, David and I do, and we're in my 65 Mustang. And the concert's over, and people are eyeballing my Mustang because it was pretty...
No, we were stuck in the parking lot for like 45 minutes because we couldn't get out.
Yeah, yeah. The concert was over. We're in the parking lot. Everyone's kind
of
like...
We got a cooler full of beer.
Post-party and drinking. And then people started offering me beer if I do donuts.
Burnouts.
Burnouts. And so I started doing burnouts, and they'd bring over beer and just set it in my lap. And
We were
a little inebriated.
Allegedly drinking beers.
And the police came over to get me to stop, and we saw him walking over, and so we started hiding all the beers, and the police, like, get them, we get all the beers out, we're like, yeah, we're good. And then the police, like, knock on my window and ask me to roll it down, and so I roll down the window, And the cop like shines his light down in my lap and then in my eyes, and they didn't get I didn't get a ticket or anything that I can remember. I
don't no, think you
I
did. Didn't.
But I look on my lap, and my lap is covered in in moisture rings from like 12 or 14 beers sitting in my lap like a minute ago. And it's all these round circles on my pants.
The good old days. And that's my point about kids now. Like my daughter, she can't, I won't even trust her to leave the house.
Right.
Because there's so many fucking nutbags out there.
Like, and nowadays, people would film that with a cell phone camera. Then they would find out who you are. And then they would dox you. And then they would blast it all over the internet.
Can you
force
imagine?
The cops to go in after the fact.
That's what I'm saying.
Give you a retroactive ticket.
I can't imagine being a kid now.
There weren't cameras to catch us when we did shit.
That's my point. Like, I feel bad for my kid. It's like, I want to just let her like have fun and do things. But I'm like, do you know how much trouble you're going to fucking be in? I can't, babe. I can't let you go.
Yep.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Yep.
Ugh.
Well, this show was much ado about nothing. However,
first off,
get your event tickets.
No, it wasn't. It was a great
show. It's our 200th show.
200th show, man.
Yeah.
It was a great show. Hey, before we wrap up, I just want to say, Mitch, it's been really great, buddy. 200.
Aww, don't.
200 episodes,
200.
Man. 200. Wah-ha! We've had a great time.
The next 200 is going to get even better.
Yeah. I was thinking 100. I'm retired.
Oh. maybe we'll retool the show. You never know.
We're not retooling shit.
But
I love it, man.
Yeah.
It's been great.
If you guys have any objection to us taking the next 9 episodes and redoing the core episodes, let us know in the comments. Reach out to us, shoot us emails or whatever. Otherwise, I think that's going to be our plan, is episodes 201 through 209 are going to be the same as the original first 9 core episodes of this show.
Up to date, though.
Up to date information, up to date viewpoints. Our viewpoints on some of this stuff may have changed through all the experiences that we have. So it'll be interesting to correlate from previous shows to not. So
yeah, and I will say this. I am very not looking forward to going back and watching those 9 and then changing my mind about like,
yep.
I don't want to research. I'm getting lazy in my old age, man.
Yeah, it'll be... So, like, David and I have already kind of hashed this out. Like, what we would do is...
The
week before we re-record the show, we would watch the original, and after we got done laughing at ourselves for how bad they were, we would take notes of, like, good points that we want to reiterate and points that we may have changed a tune on or whatever else, and basically kind of rehash the show. So just like the E-Myth came out with a modern version of the book called The E-Myth Revisited, this is going to be like the core episodes revisited.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
You know what? It'll be good for both of us, probably.
Yeah, it'll be good for anybody. It'll be good for the listeners, too. So
thanks for the homework, dickhead.
Yeah. Until next week, guys, we will see you later.